You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Good day, everybody. It's your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, and welcome to my couch as usual. Got a great show, as always. I am your psychologist. Very friendly, too. Welcome to my couch. Kick your feet off and enjoy. I have a great program for you today. We're going to be talking about Relationships 101, as I call it. And since it's Open Forum Friday, I welcome all of your calls. Because you just... let it go. Let me know what you'd like to talk about. There are no guests today. I planned it this way because we're doing Relationships 101, and I'm going to tell you about how to make your relationships better. Some of the mistakes maybe you're making in them. Are you thinking wrong? Are you taking everything personally? Is it all about you? Well, we're going to talk about that and a lot more. So first off, let me give you the phone number. Open Line Friday, right here on LA Talk Radio. The number in our beautiful Studio City Studios, the heartland of the media here in California. 323-203-0815. 323 is the area code, 203-0815. And if you have any kind of questions you'd like to ask me at all, let me just designate that we do not have a therapeutic relationship, you and I. This is just advice, entertainment, and probably some of the best information that you're going to get. Humbly speaking, of course. But you give me a call if you have questions about anything. I'll be happy to maybe share some of my experience with you, help you out a little bit, give you things to think about, or maybe not. But what the heck, we're going to give it a try. So that's what we do right here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. So Relationships 101 is what I'm calling today, because when couples learn about healthier ways to communicate, they understand each other better and they avoid a lot of problems, you see. So I'm talking about some of the basic principles of great communication today and some of the most common mistakes that we make. And by just tweaking these things a little bit, thinking about how you come off to your partner or your wife or husband or whatever, living with arrangement, tweaking it a little bit may just save your relationships. Just thinking about, maybe I'm coming off a little too defensive, argumentative, negative. Maybe they're nagging me and I'm getting that way. How can we talk about it? You see? It's really important to remember that every single one of us see the world differently. You've got to keep thinking that. Sometimes when we live with someone for a while or if we're with someone, we think that they're along the same groove lines as we are. They're always thinking, oh yeah, they know what I'm thinking. And then there's always those people that say, well, if you don't know what I want, then I'm not going to tell you. You know, they make you feel guilty and punish you. But we all see the world differently. We all are coming from different backgrounds. And understanding each other's backgrounds is really important in learning how to communicate. That's because the way we talk to others has been influenced by our upbringing, our education, our values, our beliefs. You see? Our brains store painful past experiences to help us avoid repeating them in the future. You see? Some of these hurtful memories are so embedded that we react unconsciously to current situations that seem similar. So, in other words, when we're relating these experiences now and these feelings now to these past feelings, then you can't tell the difference. Your brain can't tell the difference. It's like, somebody was really mean to me, daddy or mommy, and oh my goodness, my girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife is coming off the same way, and you react the same way because that's how you survived and reacted in the past. So there's no judgment here from Dr. Michelle. So when your partner criticizes you, what I'm saying, this may trigger a strong reaction to what you perceive is a similar situation, let's say, when your dad always criticized you as a kid. Your hurtful feelings from the past automatically come up, and you get mad or defensive towards your partner. So every single message we receive from the people we care for, usually, and sometimes some of those people out there in the world who we really don't care for, but we have to deal with, is all of it's filtered through our own context, what we've been through, how we perceive this. And the way we react is usually triggered by old wounds that we or our partner may not even be aware of. Old stuff, old stuff. See, we come into relationships with all of our old stuff, all of our old baggage. You know, we carry it all of our own fears, all of our own worries, all of our own insecurities. We're all like that, every single human being on this earth. Some more than others. But we project it out there onto our other significant people. Okay? So because of these differences in our backgrounds, we have to develop an open mind. We have to try and understand each other's perceptions and triggers by asking questions. And it's really important, too, to delay your reactions until you have more information so you're not assuming what your partner is saying or feeling. You know what I'm saying? How many times have you assumed that your significant other or your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, is saying something that they're meaning something that they're not really meaning or saying? How many times have you assumed the worst? Most of the time, I bet. It's really easy to go there when we've been wounded. So we really have to listen carefully and kind of check out with our partners what's going on. You see what I'm saying? It's really important to do that. Everybody acts differently. Acting differently when conflict arises is the way to feel better. That's the way we actually rewire our brains. So we don't react, you know, in a defensive or hostile manner because we're perceiving that someone's hurting us. We can rewire our brains by acting and thinking differently. You know, for all of our lives, those little neurons have grown. So when you perceive something as, I don't know, hurtful, something as a threat to you emotionally, physically, of course, you've built up all these defense mechanisms in order to protect yourself. And that's okay because everybody does it. The problem is we're rewired. We're so wired for all those years of being defensive and being angry because it sounded like this and that's how we react. That's how we react. You have to stop and think and listen and change your way of thinking. That's what you have to do. So how do we rewire our brains so we can get along better with our partners? Change your thoughts and behaviors. You've heard it a gazillion times. And I know you're going, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, they're so boring. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Give me a friggin' break. Well, in order to develop better relationships, it's important to understand what old emotional triggers we have from the past. So you've got to kind of analyze yourself. What are my triggers? You know what's really cool is that a lot of people come in to me for the first time or the second time, or we're just kind of beginning a good relationship in therapy, and they say, well, I know that I have this button pushed when my boyfriend does this to me. Because, you know, my dad used to do this to me. And I know it's really cool because a lot of people are savvy and they know what their triggers are and their buttons are. And they're able to kind of give me information so I don't have to do all the work. But it's not always that easy. So becoming enlightened about yourself and knowing what your triggers and your buttons are based on the past is really a great thing. You know, some experts think that arguing, actually, can be healthy for a couple. I know. I'm not into arguing. I don't. It's not really healthy. Because, again, what we're doing, if you're arguing on a constant basis with someone, you're conditioning your brain. You know, That's Dr. Michelle's old, you're being addicted to the drama thing. But anyway, some experts think that it can be good to argue because it means something has to change. Duh. That's true, but I believe that if we argue on a continual basis, we could actually get very addicted to it. I mean, did you grow up in a home where your parents were always arguing and then you with your siblings or whatever were arguing and then now with your wife or your husband arguing, you're ready to fight because that's normal to you. You're wired that way. And when we're arguing on autopilot, our brains get stimulated. They get addicted to the neuron hormones that are released in heightened emotional states. Really true. So, know that. It's almost like a knee-jerk reaction. It's a drug, baby. Those neurohormones get us excited. And if we don't have the drama and the excitement and the heightened emotion, we get it. It is. It's like a drug. Come on. You want that stuff. Because you know why? You get to that heightened state and then it feels so good when you come down, when you finally calm down. It's you get it out and you argue. And those hormones are being released. That's not healthy. It can't be healthy. You know, that's why people have chemical imbalances, because sometimes they can't control that. You know, the ups and the downs, the anxiety disorders. Nothing shameful in that. We inherited a lot of us. But a lot of us make it happen, too. If you've got the inheritance of some kind of a chemical imbalance from mom or dad or grandma, grandpa, aunt or uncle or something, and then you have the drama to coincide with it, ooh, you need to work on that stuff. You need to work on helping your brain get healthy again and not releasing those chemicals so you can argue and get high. It's a high. Come on. You admit it. Come on now. Admit it. When you get into this really high, intense arguing, come on now. You dig it. You like that high sometimes, don't you? Because it feels so good to get out. It's a release. But it's so unhealthy, the stuff it leads to. And I'm not talking about even abuse. I'm talking about, verbal, physical, all that. I'm just talking about just screwing up a relationship because you two can't see and calm down to talk about stuff, you know? So autopilot arguing, neurohormones are released, we're high, we're feeling good. Come on, get out of it. You got to calm yourself down first. You have to do all those relaxing things. And, stop blaming the disagreement on your partner. Stop becoming angry too quickly. He's such a hothead. Stop it. Don't do it. There's no excuses for that. Breathe. Think about it. Relax. Go away from the situation. Stop raising your voice. Stop yelling. Cool it down. Stop trying to dominate your partner. Ladies, you thought I was going to be talking to the guys, didn't you? Women are so dominating. Sometimes they try to make their partners do what they want them to do. Guys are pretty easygoing for the most part because they want to please and they want to take care of business. They're action-oriented. Guys dominate too. Come on, we know that. But we women sometimes whine and nag and... On the more passive side, by the way, there's a problem with folks who withdraw or disengage from their partners. Or who may decide to do something that their partner wants, but then they comply with obvious resentment. You know that passive-aggressive stuff? That drives me absolutely up the walls. There is no room for passive-aggressiveness. That shoots down any kind of communication. Because if you're not saying how you really feel, and you do sneaky stuff, I'm not talking about fooling around. That too, but I'm talking about passive-aggressive stuff. Showing up really late. Not calling when you say you're going to call. Not being there when you say you're going to be there. Continually making excuses for your behavior. That's all passive-aggressive stuff. That's not okay. And why would you want to do that to inflict pain on your partner? Why would you want to do that? That's not okay. So do some of these, behaviors sound familiar to you? How we get out of these destructive patterns? How do we get out? We rewire our brains. And it's understanding our old triggers. What did I grow up with? What was I exposed to every doggone day? What kind of arguing? What kind of passive-aggressive ignoring? What kind of emotionally unavailability did I get from mom and dad? Or my grandparents? Or my aunts, uncles, whoever brought you up, who was ever around you? What did you get? What messages did you get? You have to really take a look at that and see how you're projecting it onto your partner. And that's relationships 101. That's basic stuff. To know how you're going to react with others, you've got to know what's inside of you and what things you fear and what things make you react. So it's changing our understanding of our old triggers and experiences of growing up and communicating them to our partner. Guys, it's really not shameful to admit that you had a really messed up past or you're very defensive because of something. It's really neat to get to know, and ladies too, but guys are a little more guilty of this sometimes. They don't open up as much. But it's really good to tell your partner about some of the stuff you went through, and that's why possibly you react the way you do. So rewiring our brains begins with conscious control of our angry reactions to what our partner is saying, learning how to effectively express ourselves, being patient, listening carefully. That's hard. Listening carefully sometimes to what our partners are really saying, as well as respecting their needs. That's really hard to do. I think we have a caller on the line. Let's see. I don't know. Not a caller yet. Oh, by the way, if you want to get in contact with me, Dr. Michelle, this is a free all open phone Friday. 323-203-0815. If you have any problems or any issues or anything you'd like to talk about, I'd love to hear from you. It would be really cool. All right. So let me see. Where was I? Oh, I got a couple of lines coming in. But you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold off and I'm going to wait for them to flash on the screen again.
Hello.
Oh, wow. I do have a caller. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Is this Dr. Michelle?
This is Dr. Michelle. Who's this?
Hi, this is Justin.
Justin, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm listening to your show, and it's funny you're talking about this kind of relationship stuff.
Yes,
I have a problem.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay. I work real hard. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend, you know, we live together.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend just doesn't seem to understand that I work about 12 hours a day.
Yikes.
And I come home and all I want to do is zone. That's all I want to do. I am just exhausted.
Right.
And you know, she seems like she just doesn't understand that I'm a hard-working guy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on the phone all day long, and I'm working, and by the time I get home, I'm just spent. I'm
okay.
just done. And she's upset with me because of that. She goes, why can't you just be more, you know, available to me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love her, but I'm getting so tired of being accused all the time of not being there.
Okay.
We've been together for a couple years.
I was just going to ask you that, okay.
And I'm just frustrated, and I'm just tired. And,
it sounds like it.
You know, we go to bed at night, you know, and it's, you know, she's just upset with me because of this.
Yeah. How long have you been working these 12-hour days in this relationship?
Oh, probably about 6 months now.
Oh, okay. All righty.
I'm just trying to pay the bills.
Okay. All right. So good for you. I mean, what a responsible guy you are. Does she work at all?
She works.
Okay.
She works.
But she does work as many hours. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, she's a secretary.
Okay, all right. So it sounds to me like you're in a pretty stressful job situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And I'm not making the money I should be making.
Okay.
But the reason why I work so hard, I work two jobs, and she just is constantly upset with me because I'm just not doing it. I'm not coming home perky. She accuses me of not being perky.
Oh, perky. And, does she want to have sex with you when you come home?
Does she want to have sex with me?
Yeah.
You know, on the weekends, I'm better, but during the week, I'm exhausted.
You didn't answer. My question, Justin. Does she want to
what?
Does she want to have sex with you on the weekends or the weeknights?
We really don't get to that point.
Okay. All right. So she's not saying, "Come on, let's get into it. I'm hot and I want to make love to you and all that." She's not doing that on the weeknights because she knows that you're coming home late and you're really tired. She respects that. Oh, that's good. Okay. So on the weekends, it's a little easier for you guys to be intimate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are?
On the weekend.
You guys are?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Still after 2 years,
yeah.
The spark is still there. It's still good.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
The spark
okay.
is still there.
Oh, great.
I like her to wear...
No. We're not going to get into that, what you like her to wear. You know, I don't want to do that. Well, I'm really happy, though. And she's cool about that. She's into dressing up for you and whatever fulfilling your fantasies are. So you have a good sex life. That's good. All right. So what I'm getting from you is you're telling me is that she's saying that you're not really there for her. You're unavailable many of the weeknights because you're so tired. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you think you're doing when you come home to her? I mean, what kinds of behaviors? What are you doing?
I come home and we eat dinner, and I'm on the phone all day long, and I just want peace and quiet, and I just want to watch TV.
Okay.
I just, and I don't mind if she watches TV with me. I love that, but she wants to talk and she wants to tell me what's going on and all this stuff. And it's like, please, just give me a break. Just let me have a little time.
So do you come off angry to her when she starts kind of whining or nagging, or you're not listening, or I want to talk about... Do you kind of approach her angrily and say, look, back off? Or do you just sit there and kind of like, okay, fine, I'll turn off the TV. What do you have to say?
That's what I do.
Is that what you do? Oh, you're a nice guy. You're trying to be there for her, but your brain is still...
Well, I love her. It's not her. It's not. I'm not angry with her.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm angry at my situation.
Right.
It's demeaning to me. But I have to do what I got to do.
Your work situation is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. Every human being, when they're working, needs breaks. You know, there's all these studies about how if you give people in companies more breaks, they're more productive. You know, short breaks, not hanging around and, you know, doing things. But short breaks, downtime, brain time, things like that. So obviously, if you are working, like you said, two jobs, you're working 12 hours a day, you need downtime, dude. Do you give yourself any kind of downtime or enjoyment in between?
Like last night.
Yeah.
Okay, typical example. She goes to sleep at 11 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I get home at 8:30 at night.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have the liberty of having any kind of downtime.
Right.
So I literally stayed up until 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and she was in bed, and I took my portable DVD player and I watched a movie.
Oh, okay. So you were in bed with her, but you had that little thing going on in your lap or something.
Right. She was tired, and she goes, "Honey, let's go to sleep." And I, you know, I'm just
right.
I'm just. I just. I gotta. I just leave me alone right now. I just let me download.
Right.
Let me just. I just want to stare.
Okay, I get it.
So finally, at 1 o'clock, I finally got tired and put the movie down and went to sleep.
Right.
And I got a very restful night's sleep,
good.
But I was up at 7 o'clock. humping and jumping and doing what I need to do.
Humping and jumping. Right. So, and you guys are both off in the morning and going off to work. So the only time you see...
Yeah, she goes to work. Yeah. She goes to work at 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a home-based business that I'm working, and then I have to go. I have to leave at around 12 and go to my other job, which is a full-time job.
My hero.
So it's
good. Well, no, that's great that you're working so hard, and I really appreciate that in this economy. A lot of us are having to do that, work overtime, work double jobs and all that. And what I would say is you've got to communicate with her kindly. And at some point, maybe this weekend, you guys can, you know, make some time for each other. Go out to dinner with each other. Sit down and say, go ahead and tell her you called me because you're feeling really frustrated. And have her call me. I'd love to talk to her. I would love to talk to this woman and just kind of give her a little heads up on how this is not a personal thing. Because it sounds to me like you guys have a really good relationship. And
I think she may be listening right now because she's a fan of yours.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, good. If she's, what's her name?
Karen.
All right, Karen, if you're listening right now, and I'm talking to Justin, hopefully she's listening. In her office, working for her boss as a secretary, doing her online radio show. Hopefully she's listening. Really, she you need to hear Karen if you're listening. But what you should do, Justin, is sit down with her. It's Valentine's coming up, you know. Make a real special time with her. Whatever it is.
I just remembered that.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I could help you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. It's Friday the 13th. You've got another day. You've got another day. You're good. Now, in between...
I completely forgot.
Look, when you get off work tonight at 8 or 8:30 late, you know, run on over, get her something really special. The malls are open until... get her some lovely lingerie or something. You don't have to spend a ton. Okay, the malls are open late, so there you go. Okay, I'm your shopping guru as well.
I like that.
Okay, good. Whatever you think she'd like, whatever you think she'd like. If you're a hardworking man trying to deal with this economy and you're working two jobs, don't overspend yourself. Take care of yourself. So there's no resentment, but women love lingerie and perfume, whatever. She needs perfume. So thank you. That's my advice. Goodbye. No, just kidding. Look, if you can sit down with her on your romantic weekend, afternoon, evening, brunch, whatever it is, and talk to her calmly about your feelings of, let me tell you really who I am and about me dealing with this economy. You know I work 12 hours a day, and you know I love you, and this is not about you. When I come home, it's normal for me to just gel and stare. I need to download. Men are much more in need of this because they're very, when they focus, they're not multitaskers. Women are a little easier. It's easier for women to multitask and focus out there and do many things and let it go and have emotions and verbalize and sometimes analyze. And you know, men are focused on the job. Focused on the job, getting the job done, focused all the way through. So when they come home and they're downloading, they need to just stare at something. That's why guys play a lot of video games. You know,
yep.
I have this couple and, you know, this guy's coming home and playing Halo for like 4 hours online with his buddies. Now, that's a little excessive. But I mean, you know, the man's a hardworking guy and he needs to come home and Call of Duty. That's another one. I hear these women say, my husband's playing Call of Duty for 2 hours. Okay, you guys got
to... You know, I used to play video games. I don't have any time.
Well,
don't have any time anymore.
Right, and especially if she's making... Did it bring you joy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe...
But a good game lasts for an hour.
Okay, all right. You know? So maybe she needs... Would this relax you? Would this give you some downtime? Would this get your mind off your work and help you feel good if you could play maybe for an hour?
Yeah, but I don't have time.
That's
the problem. I don't have time.
All right. When you come
home. I get home. She wants to talk. I feel guilty.
Right.
You know, I feel guilty because I'm not talking to her.
Okay.
It's a real dual-edged sword, you know.
It really
is. Like, I want to spend time. I want to be a good man. I want this relationship to work, but I just don't have any time for me.
Okay.
So by the time I get home, we have dinner, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Right.
And she's getting ready for bed, and I'm still like, jumping.
Right, right.
And okay, honey, let's go to bed. It's like, okay.
I get it. So what you need to
and,
tell...
And she doesn't let me, you know, it's like I like watching TV before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, I put a movie on, and she doesn't like the speakers.
Mm.
I got a real cool hookup in my bedroom with a stereo system with the speakers and the movie, and she goes, oh honey, I'm trying to calm down, I'm trying to cool down. I'm like,
yeah.
going, yeah, okay. but I need this. You don't understand. I need this.
Okay, so this is about compromise.
And she's like, but no, I need to calm down. I don't like the booming.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, it's not booming. It's just I need some time.
Right. So you guys need, yes.
She doesn't understand that.
Sounds like you guys need to make big compromises and really hear each other and what you both need. So Karen, if you're listening, hopefully, here's the deal. You need to take some time with her this weekend. You need to sit down, whatever, romantic dinner, brunch, whatever you guys do. You need to sit down, and you need to say, there's something that's really been bothering me, and it's coming between us. It's really coming between us. You need to understand that I love you so much, and I want to keep this relationship going. I love making love to you. You know, all the cool stuff. You know what to say, right, Justin? You know what to say to her. But what I'm saying is, tell her what you need. Tell her it's normal for people, especially men, when they're working as many hours as you are a day, to have download time. And tell her that maybe you guys could compromise, and that you're zoning out or needing downtime, or, you know, needing to stay out beyond the time she needs to go to bed, is because you're not getting any time to download and relax. So maybe you guys could compromise and work out a schedule. Now, I know you're probably hungry. Sitting and eating and talking's great, because you're eating, you're hungry, you come home late, and then you're eating. And, you know, maybe spend about an hour doing that. Negotiate, sit and talk. And just say, you know, I'm just listening to you. Listen. If you're not feeling like talking, you don't have to talk. Say, I mean, you don't have to say touchy-feely stuff, because you're still downloading. And so listen, be a good listener. You know, Justin, be a good listener.
Yeah.
You know, that's the number one. Knowing how to communicate well means listening. And I know this is easier said than done. And
yeah.
Most people, and I mean not just men, are poor listeners. So what we have to do is just sit, focus, look at your partner while she's talking to you when you're having dinner, right? Turn
yeah.
off all the stimulus around you. Sit, look, talk, uh-huh. You know, and kind of let her know that you're there for her. You need to tell her that it's so important for you to download. And because you, after dinner, you guys communicate, have a nice chat, whatever. Now, you know, I need to kind of unwind and go maybe play an hour of the game you like to play. Say, is it okay if I do this just to download, get my brain into a zone? And if she wants to talk to me about this, I will be happy to tell her how men need to, and women. But
Karen, if you're listening, call Dr. Michelle.
That's right. Give me a call right here on the air. That'd be great. 323-203-0815. Open forum phone Friday. Anyway, getting back to you. So talk to her. Tell her these things. Tell her you need to download. It has nothing to do personally. You are a good listener, but when you're so burnt out from the day, you need a download time, whether it's 1 hour playing your whatever Call of Duty game or whatever you play, 1 hour staring at a movie, or an hour and a half or whatever. She can do what
yeah.
she needs to do to prepare. Maybe that'll be her time to get ready for the next day. Shower. Women like to
right.
do evening showers.
Yeah.
You know, get ready for the next day. You guys can have some, because you've been apart all day for 12 hours, doesn't mean you have to completely come together and be talking and talking. She needs to hear that you need downtime to chill.
Right.
Right? Because you're not going to be any, and you need to tell her that you're not going to be any good for her as a man unless you get downtime, because you need to relax. You need this. So you need to express that to her. No, it's not that hard. I heard you take a deep breath. It's easy for her. You know, when women are told, I love you, I need you, this is a great relationship, I'm so attracted to you, but I need some downtime. I need to unravel my day. This is a common thing for men to do who are working so intensely. You know, and she needs to hear that you, you know, allow her her time and she can allow you your time. It's all about, it's all about relaxing. It's all about being together comfortably. She does her thing. You do. So by the time Betty Bye comes around, you both can cuddle and be together. So you're not sitting there because she's been talking to you for 2 hours since you got home nonstop and judging you 3 hours. You know, you can sit there or lay there in bed with her and cuddle with her because you've had your downtime. You've had your unwind time. You've had your dinner. She's done her thing. So you can cuddle. You know, you can be together. So you don't have to worry about it. Okay?
Yep.
How does that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, yeah. And she's pretty open to talking with you, right? She's not hogging the conversation.
Oh, no, she's... No, she, it's just I know that she's frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
And it's just a frustrating situation.
Sure
just,
it is. Sure it is. No,
I feel guilty because I want to be more available. But,
don't feel guilty. Don't feel
you
guilty.
Know, When my brain is zeroed out, it's really tough.
Right. No, no, I hear you. And don't feel guilty. Guilt is horrible. I mean, guilt helps us, you know, sometimes become better people because we can sharpen up and say, ooh, wait, why am I feeling guilty? That's a sign. I need to get my... But her, if she's making you constantly, you, God, what's wrong with me? You need to assure her that you love her very much and it's just your brain needs to chill and you need downtime.
Yeah.
That's really the big communication thing with her. And continually saying it has nothing to do with you. Maybe, you know, let's talk at dinner, let's unwind a little bit, and then I need my little time, especially on the weeknights. And then weekends, you know, maybe you... kind of pick up some of the pieces at work on Saturday morning or whatever you do, and then you both enjoy the weekend together and you make plans. How's that sound?
Yeah. That sounds great. That sounds great.
Well, good. Well, I hope, you know, I hope everything works out. If Karen needs to call me, have her do so. I'd love to talk to her. I'd love to talk to her today because it's fresh.
Yeah.
You know, it's fresh and we're talking about
it. Well, I'm going to talk to her tonight. So.
Cool. I hope she's listening. So, all right, Justin. Thank you so much for calling the show. And, you know, take good care of yourself.
I love your show, Doc.
Well, I love
really
you, too.
Do. It's real fun.
Good. You take some downtime for yourself, and just no accusing. Don't accuse her. Don't get down on her. Just talk to her gently and let her know how much you love her, but just explain to her you need downtime. And if she's not okay with that, you have her call me, and I'll tell you how much she needs to hear you say that.
Okay.
You have her call me. I'll be happy to tell her. How much?
She can go to your website. You got your phone numbers there and everything.
Yeah, yeah. She can go to my website. She can contact me at Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL.com. Doc Michelle with two L's. I have that Michelle thing with two L's.
Great.
Doc Michelle at AOL.com. Have her write me. I'd love to talk to her. That'd be great if she has any questions.
You okay.
Know. All right. All right. Great. Well, have a wonderful day. And sounds like you're, are you at work right now? Are you traveling?
I got to leave.
Okay.
That's what I got to do.
Have a
right
great
now.
Day. All right. You have a great day, and so you're off to your second job. All right.
Oh,
You're a good man. You're a good man, and take good care of yourself, and I appreciate you calling.
Okay. Thanks, doctor.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. All right. Now, there's a nice guy. See, that's a really typical situation, folks. You know, accused of not paying attention or being there or whatever because he's downloading. Now, this is just what I hear over the radio. I don't know for sure the real deal. You know, people a lot of times misrepresent themselves when they come see me or talk to me on the phone. They make it out like they're perfect. So there may be other things going on that I don't know about. But it just sounds like they need to sit down and communicate. And she needs to understand that he does need downtime. And that's, you know, the way it is. So. And if you'd like to call me here live on the air, I can help you out. It's open forum, free phone Friday, 323-203-0815. Dr. Michelle, still here on the couch with you. And I had, let me see, looking through my emails, I had some information for you as well about a test. I used to give a lot of on-air tests. They were personality tests. And they're kind of fun to give. And I had the... scenarios that attempt to explain your outlook on love personality test. And I gave this test months ago, and I received a couple of emails from loyal listeners saying, "Dear Dr. Michelle, can you please give us the test with the animals? that explain your outlook on love. So I dug that old test up again. It's kind of fun. I mean, it's not scientific or empirical. It's just kind of fun to think about, and maybe this applies to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the test, and I want you to think about it. And what I will do is I will give you a question, and then I will give you the answers, and then I'll tell you what your answers mean according to this personality test that explains your outlook on love. So let's start it off. Now, number one, ready? This is all about picking animals. The end of the world is coming. If you can save only one kind of animal, which one will you pick? Which one will you pick? Only one animal. Rabbit, sheep, deer, or a horse? The end of the world is coming and you're going to pick only one animal. Which one is it? Rabbit, sheep, deer, or horse? All right, if you picked a rabbit, your choice represents the personality of the person you would like to be attracted to in real life. Rabbit, ice on the outside, cold on the outside, a little bit passive, shy, but warm on the inside. If you picked a sheep, the personality of person you'd like to be attracted to in real life is obedient and warm. If you picked a deer, the choice represents the personality of the person you'd like to be attracted to, who is elegant and well-mannered. And if you picked a horse, the kind of person you're attracted to, unbridled, free-spirited, and free. You saw that coming, right? There you go. All right, number two. If you had to be an animal, which one would you choose, you animal? You're such an animal. Would you choose a dog? I know a lot of women who come in to see me that say, my husband's a dog. Just kidding. Would you choose a cat? Would you choose a horse? Would you like to be a horse? Would you like to be a snake? Now, I know you're thinking, oh, no, I'm not going to choose snake, because Dr. Michelle's going to say, oh, that's bad. No, don't analyze it. Just come off with the first thing that you're thinking. If you had to be an animal, which would you choose? Dog, cat, horse, or snake? Okay. If you said dog, the impression that you would like to give to your partner is loyal and faithful. If you said cat, the impression you'd like to give, the impression you give to your lover is stylish, finicky. You saw that coming. Independent. If you picked horse, the impression you'd like to give to your partner is optimistic. And if you picked snake, believe it or not, in this personality test, it means that you'd like to give your partner a lot of flexibility. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're sneaky and you want to strike. All right, number three. If you have the power to make one species disappear forever, which one will that be? One species to disappear forever. I think I know what a lot of you are going to pick. We all do, but anyway. Would you like a lion to disappear, a snake, a crocodile, or a shark? Lion, snake, crocodile, or shark? Your choice represents the behavior that would cause you to break up with your partner. This is subconscious. If you picked lion to disappear off the face of the earth, the thing that would cause you to break up with your partner would be their arrogance and authoritative behavior. If you picked snake to disappear off the world, the thing that would cause you to break up with your partner is they're emotional, way too emotional, and they're way too moody, and you don't know how to please him or her. If you picked crocodile, your partner would be ruthless. That's what would be the deal breaker. Ruthlessness. All about them. Narcissistic. All right? And if you picked shark, supposedly, according to this non-empirical test, to leave the world forever, it would cause you to break up with your partner if they were very insecure. Very insecure. That would be the deal breaker, is their insecurity, and they're always accusing you of things and all that. Okay. All righty. Let's go to number four. If one of the following animals could speak, which would you prefer to be? A sheep, a horse, a rabbit, or a bird? If the following animals could speak English and talk to you, communicate. I know a lot of you people out there say, but my animal does communicate with me. I'm talking English. You know, like Mr. Ed. Wilbur. It's before your time, isn't it? Look, watch them on Nickelodeon. They have these cool old shows. Anyway, would you prefer a sheep to talk to you, a horse to talk to you, a rabbit to talk to you, or a bird? Sheep, horse, rabbit, bird. If you pick sheep, your choice represents the kind of relationship that you'd like to build with your partner. So you both know what the other person is thinking without saying a word. If you pick sheep, you would like to build an intuitive relationship. If you picked horse, you would like to be able to talk about everything and anything with no secrets kept. If you picked a rabbit, you would like to build your relationship on anything with anybody that makes you feel warm and always in love. Fuzzy bunnies, right? If you picked a bird, you would like to build your partner in a very, very committed and long-lasting relationship together. That's the bird. And again, this is the non-empirical personalitytest.com that I'm talking about. But maybe this applies to you. Maybe you could think, yeah, you know, that is kind of like me. Kind of general. All right, let's do number five. On an isolated island, you can only have one of the following as your companion. Which one would you choose? A human? A pig? A cow? Yeah, you could eat that sucker. You could eat the pig, too, or the bird. Not good eating. Bird wouldn't be too good eating, but maybe if it talked, you could have a sort of a conversation, or think you did, because you'd be going crazy on an isolated island. So, anyway. On an isolated island, you can only have one of the following as your companion. Human, pig, cow, bird, pick it. Don't think. All right, if you picked a human, your choice shows whether you're capable of committing adultery. And that means probably not. If you picked a human, you're not capable of committing adultery, because that means you're alone, together, isolated with one person. You get it? You get the meaning? You're willing to be alone and isolated with one person. If you picked a pig, you can't resist desire and lusts out there. So you're likely to commit adultery. If you picked a cow, that means you're tolerant and you'll try very hard not to do it. You're very tolerant. You'll try not to commit adultery. If you picked a bird, supposedly according to this test, it means you don't like to make commitments and you're likely to commit adultery. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? If you picked a bird. Yeah, but I was thinking happy thoughts talking to a bird. And anyway, scenarios that attempt to explain your outlook on love. There you go. And I thank you for writing in, Jeannie and Christy, and requesting this test again. And there's more and other tests, which I'm going to be giving you next week. If you like these, let me know. And you can find me and write me on my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. Or, of course, you can find me on my website. It's about making positive life changes. I don't know if you haven't got it by now. That's what I'm about, changing your thinking, changing your behaviors, going back into some of the subconscious things that you do based on your early environment. It's making positive life changes, choices, behaviors, actions, exploring what you went through and why, and, of course, making those changes. So you'll see that on my website as well. It's really important, which is drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Come on down. Go ahead. Click on that and find out more about me. And, of course, keep it here always on latalkradio.com for the best talk show entertainment that you're going to get anywhere on the internet. This is a place to be, and also kind of beats the heck out of a lot of broadcast radio stations, too, because there's one main theme. Here it's a potpourri of fabulous intellectual understanding, stimulating, I'm not ripping that off, hosts. All right, Dr. Michelle, you can stay on the couch if you like. It's cool with me. TJ McCormick is up next with his brilliance as usual. And the daddy of a new proud baby girl, by the way. Congratulations, TJ. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, may I say. Treat your loved one kindly. Don't do all the bad things I told you. Be loving and kind and open, and kind of think about the way you're behaving and dealing with your loved ones. Have a great day, and do take care. It's Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye. Just the same.